Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, WBAI. Hey, we're bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And today we have a wonderful guest, something I've been looking forward to. Dr. Judith Orloff is with us. And Dr. Judith Orloff is with us to discuss today. We're going to look at a couple of different things, but the first thing I want you to know is that the name of her book is Positive Energy. Now, that's a kind of an interesting title for a book, considering that the program is The Positive Mind. So it certainly would get my eye to hear Positive Energy, but then we looked a little closer, and just about 10 minutes ago, well, welcome to the station, Judith.
Oh, thank you so much.
You've been a little bit. You were here. You met with Kathy Davis for a few minutes, I remember.
I did. I met with her for a couple of minutes. Lovely woman.
And you're familiar with the station in Los Angeles and
Oh, yes.
Pacifica Radio.
I'm a big fan of Pacifica Radio.
And then all of a sudden this little thing started happening where we started with, do you know?
And we did.
We were in two different sides of the world and you're in California. We just know about everybody in common. Well, it's kind of interesting because the world that you travel in and the world that I've traveled in also has some commonality. Let's start off with talking about positive energy, but we'll start off with talking about the Katrina. And I know that this is something that people have heard a great deal about, but how do you think the hurricane, specifically Katrina, not Rita, not the one that followed, but Katrina, how do you think it affected the mind of the people in New York City who specifically are people who have gone through the previous catastrophe, what some people are calling it the September stress syndrome, but people who went through 9/11, do you think it had a different effect on people who went through 9/11, that Katrina had a different effect on them than it might have on the rest of the country?
Well, that's a good question. I absolutely do, because I feel that the negativity and the trauma resonates because the wound is still so fresh from 9/11, and the trauma that New Yorkers went through is inconceivable. And then when you see the levels of suffering that were there in Katrina, and you saw the people in the Astrodome and the suffering and the death, it harkens back to memories of 9/11. And so all the more reason to try to develop positive energy, to work with the negativity. We're dealing with extreme negativity, and we're just not used to it in this country in terms of seeing it. We're not used to seeing it, but it happens all over the world all the time. Now it's in our backyard, and so we have to learn strategies to deal with the extreme negativity around us, and New Yorkers, especially those who are victims of Katrina. And, you know, my sense is that these kinds of catastrophes will continue, and so we need to develop strategies to not get sucked into the black hole of what that is, despite, you know, how devastating it is, so we can rise above it and be of help here, and we could stay in one piece as heartful human beings to do some good and not just be dragged under by the black hole of negativity.
Well, why would it have affected people here in New York differently? I mean, because, you know, 9/11 touched everyone. Do you think there's a different effect? I mean, is it specifically you think New Yorkers feel something? Do you think we just get so sick from seeing it because we have some association with the horror of 9/11?
I do. You were in the eye of the storm. You were in the gut-wrenching violence of what happened with 9/11, and so New Yorkers felt it. And I talk a lot about the energy body and the subtle energy that penetrates the body and extends many feet out from the body. And we have the sensitivity. So when you get in a collective system like New York City with the 9/11 events, our energy bodies are traumatized. Those waves begin to penetrate throughout the city and destroy us in many ways. It can cause health problems. It can cause exhaustion, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and cause depression and anxiety. When you deal with the intensity of the energy in 9/11, and that gets re-evoked with huge traumas like Katrina or any kind of world traumas, I think, you know, it's a problem because now it's in our front yard, so we're more aware of it. But the truth is, It's happening all around to our fellow human beings, our human family, all the time. And I think it's a healthy response to be aware that this is happening in the world, and we need to gather together to deal with all of these atrocities that are happening all the time, and not just those in the United States.
Well, it's happening more in the blue states than the red states, though.
Yes, it's true.
You know what I mean? Do you think the stress is felt in the parts that don't like to feel stress?
I think the stress is felt all over. However, I think some people are more defended against the stress or in denial about what the causes of the stress are. So when you see, you know, these poor people, literally the poor suffering, yes, that's going to resonate with people who have an open heart and can feel this. But for those who have rationalized, you know, why that's happening and can't see that there's a huge problem with poverty in the United States, then it's not going to get through as much. But in my experience, I'm a psychiatrist, I'm also an intuitive, and so I combine traditional medicine with intuitions and with a sense of energy, and those people that I've met with, my patients, my friends, people around the country, most people are so open to what's going on now and can feel the resonance of the real problems we have in our country and the massive suffering that is here, and want to do something about it in terms of turning it more into the positive mind. Or how can we take, you know, our big challenge, how can we take these traumas and living in this day and time and still stay positive and still keep ourselves together and take good care of ourselves and do good and not be seduced by the huge negative energy of what's going on, which is a big challenge, but it's a worthy challenge, and we must rise to it.
Well, it's a funny thing. The negative energy that we experience is something that's either a direct negative response or the denial, as we said. You know, the people who sit by and look at Katrina and look at 9/11 and say, well, you know, it's in New York. That's what you get for being in New York, you know, or it's in New Orleans, and that's a place of sin, and that's the way it is.
Right, right.
I mean, there are religious leaders who said that New Orleans was an act of God because it needed to happen that way.
Oh, of course, and they probably somehow rationalized the tsunami, those poor people, the poor sweet people. Why did they get wiped out? But this is all a function of denial, and what I'm suggesting...
But that's not active negativity. You see, I know what you're saying, and I think what we're both saying and what we both would say is that there's an active negativity that's in a passive negativity that's even more insipid, you know, in many ways.
I absolutely agree with you. It's more insipid and it's more powerful because it's unconsciousness. The greatest force of negativity is unconsciousness, where people think they're doing good and they're totally unconscious about certain things. And in the name of that, they wreak havoc. And so it's about positive energy is bringing together your consciousness so you could be aware in a very fair-minded way what's happening here. You know, what's happening, first of all, in ourselves, because we are microcosms for what's going on in the world in terms of our own negativity, our own fears, our own suffering that we inflict on ourselves every single day. And so the fears, the anger, the resentments, the suffering, we need to begin to work with that in ourselves and look at it as a challenge so that we could become clearer and happier and more consciousness. I worship consciousness. I worship consciousness. I do. There's nothing more attractive to me. And with my patients and with people I know, just little bursts of clarity towards consciousness, that is where it is at.
Let's talk about that for a minute. My guest is the very positive, energetic Judith Orloff, a physician, psychiatrist, author of many different things. The name of the book is Positive Energy, which is terrific. It vibrates. It's nice. You pick it up and it just buzzes your hands. But let's go on to consciousness, okay? And let's slow this one down, because people talk about it quite a bit. What is consciousness?
Consciousness is being aware with everything you've got, all of your senses, and also your mind and your intuition. Consciousness is not just the awareness of the linear mind. It's not just A plus B equals C. To get full consciousness, you need to tune in with intuition, the still small voice inside that goes beyond the linear mind and is able to sense what's beyond us in the invisible realms.
But the key ingredient of consciousness is the capacity to be in the moment.
Yes.
I mean, now this is the element that the people usually don't talk about. the essence of consciousness is being in the moment, because that's what we're not talking about tomorrow. We're not talking about yesterday. We may be talking about planning and future planning with consciousness.
Right.
But if you can't be in the present, consciousness is impossible.
It's true, but being in the present and being able to see, as a lot of times people can be put in the most beautiful environments, yet they can't see it. The problem is with negativity and in certain levels of success, let's say, where you're put in a position where you have all this, but you can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't, you know, appreciate what you have. And so part of it is seeing what's going on, part of it is being in the moment. And feeling the ecstasy of that, I want to say that this is fun, that this is a beautiful, beautiful thing. When you tune in to your body, when you listen to your intuition, when you're in the moment, you feel connected. And this is what you want. You don't want to feel disconnected or floating above your body or just in your head. You want to use intuition to connect with your most profound energy. So wherever you are, you can see it, you can be there, and you can make the most of it moment by moment, because the moments pass. The moment we just had is gone. And so if we realize that and we can flow with that and enjoy what we have, we can enjoy this life and bring the positive mind into this life through consciousness. Now, what really disturbs me is this lack of consciousness, where people walk around asleep and they don't have any desire. A lot of them don't have a desire to wake up to who they are. And I'm talking about consciousness, about the forces within us, the negative forces and the positive energy, because you have lots of negative energy rolling around inside of you that's unaddressed. For instance, anger or fear, and you dump it on other people and you could care less about that. That's going to create a lot of damage and havoc. And as a psychiatrist and intuitive, I believe that when we work on these aspects of ourselves, we begin to clear energy, get more conscious, and that betters ourselves and the world.
Judith Orloff. Judith, in order to go back to a moment that everybody could take right now, there is a moment everyone who's listening can be making notes. They could be tuning in, right?
Yes.
They could be tuning out.
Yes.
They could be doing their homework.
Yes.
We ask for a moment of being here. And in that moment of being here, you say a number of things, and you say them because they're second nature to you. You say tuning into your body. Well, for many people, that's difficult because a lot of people are numb on the inside. So let's say they are numb. Can they still be conscious? The answer is yes. You can reach for it, and the way to do it is to be here. First is you exhale and you be present.
Now.
Now.
Breathe now. And if you do that now, you could begin to feel yourself. It's
and
as simple as that.
You'll find it on the exhale. You'll find it usually on an exhale, not on an inhale. And so through that exhale for the moment, you begin to relax and you begin to just say, all right, let me just stop. And all of the sound around a person starts to appear as one voice. When you're stopping and when you're becoming conscious, you don't hear distinct voices as much. At first, you hear the sea of voices. It's like everything becomes one. And that's the beginning of it. From that spot, you could pick up anything, whether it's Scotch tape, which I have in front of me, and you could be present with it. You could look at it. You could examine it. You could feel it. And it becomes part of you. This is consciousness. Consciousness is when you're here in present in the moment. Then when you tune into some other being and you take someone else on and you're conscious with that person, you're never comparing now to another time. You know, now you're saying, if they say to you, this is a beautiful moment, you don't say, yeah, it was better last week.
Right, but that's, of course, that's the nature of the linear mind, to say that, to compare and to not stay in the moment. But the essence of positive energy is to be in the now as much as possible with yourself and to be able to feel your body. People walk around from the neck up and they're worrying and thinking. If you've got a bird's eye view into what people were thinking, it's pretty much the same thing. You know, worries, fears, to-do lists, it just goes round and round. But if you begin to bring your awareness down to your body and even just begin to feel your skin or your fingertips or your toes, to begin to, you know, feel the body is an intuitive receptor. and it picks things up. It picks up energy. It picks up vibes from people. It picks up negative vibes, positive vibes. It gives you all sorts of information about how to make great decisions. If you listen to that, the mind, as much as I love the mind, and the medical part of me loves the mind. You know, I love medical school. I love, you know, learning about it, but I also realize the limitations of the linear mind and how to be conscious. We have to bring in our intuition so we could sense the energy that goes through you and also all around you in the world. And when you see the world as energy patterns, not necessarily personalizing anything, then you could begin to shift.
Picasso once said, "Everyone is born an artist. How to maintain their artistry becomes the question. How to be able to keep that." Now, that, I think that what he means is everyone is born an intuitive.
Yes, yes.
And it is being an intuitive is very hard to hold on to because the world challenges it. The world doesn't want it. There are people who are too intuitive and they can't do anything. They can't organize anything, so they kind of burn out because nobody watered the plants.
Right.
And then there are people who have completely gave up their intuition because they figured they had to water the plants all the time.
Right.
First of all, do you think everybody is capable of recapturing their intuition?
I believe that intuition is wired in our DNA and that everybody has it and everybody can recapture it if you can slow down enough to tune in. And when you don't use this kind of energy, the intuition and the connection to something greater than the mind, it can turn against you and it could cause all kinds of health problems because it's a huge energy. It's a huge instinctual force within us to learn how to use our intuition for everything from reading vibes around people to being able to know what decisions are great for ourselves and just knowing to turn left or versus right to avoid a traffic jam. Now, very simple things, if you begin to listen to it, and everybody can. I've taught people from children to 90-year-olds to begin to listen to it, and it doesn't matter. It's not age-related. It's desire-related. If you have a desire to connect with something in yourself, you can do it right now.
Do you remember the book Stranger in a Strange Land?
It's one of my favorite books.
By Heine. Beautiful book, you know. So
rocking is the word that this needs to be used more.
Well, we have to explain what that is, too. The beauty of the book, I think, there are a number of things. You know, one description of it's about somebody who was a visitor to the planet, and he was asked a number of things about things he didn't understand because, in effect, he was a different kind of being. I want to be that person asking you. I want to be the visitor to the planet, asking you, Judith, would you please explain what intuition is? Now, I ask this because, you know, as an innocent, many people listening, they hear the word intuition. You've got to be intuitive, and they say, follow my gut. Well, for a lot of people, following the gut is exactly the wrong thing to do because their gut is always filled with fear. You know, they're always reacting to something. Their gut says, run away. I want you to explain to me, who doesn't know anything about human emotions, as a visitor to this planet, what intuition is. Let me know it so I can feel it. Explain it to me. What are you talking about?
Well, I think the simplest way to really get to know your intuition is to begin to sense energy. And it's not usually talked about in terms of energy, but if you notice who gives you energy, if you've just come to this planet and you're walking around and looking at all these humanoid people here, you see which ones you gravitate to. There's some that will make you feel positive and enriched and enlivened. And there are others where you might feel drained, the energy vampires, or you might feel that you want to walk away, or you feel demeaned or constricted. So you begin to notice what this body you have now that you're inhabiting, and I assume you're in a human body, says about listening to the signals that draw you towards somebody or repel you. It's a kind of magnetism as opposed to thinking. It's like swimming in water.
Well, you know, I know you could say that, but if your father had a mustache and you're walking down the street and you see a man with a mustache and you loved your father and you miss him, you're going to feel drawn to the mustache. You know, you could have any number of reasons to be drawn to another person. You know, if a woman jiggles when walking down the street, something very primal is going to attract a man to it. Is that what you call intuition, just because you have a response?
No, not just a physical response, but the signs of a positive intuition often include a kind of neutrality that you feel.
What do you mean by neutrality?
It has no strong emotional response one way or the other, where you just get information that comes in. For instance, you get a sense, this is wrong for me. It just feels wrong. I don't feel good about it. I don't want to go forward. But it's not a personal feeling wrong. It's a neutral feeling wrong. Whenever I look at my intuitions, when I work with patients, I always see, is there an emotional charge associated with it, or does it come through more neutrally? Whereas if I pick up somebody has cancer or somebody has depression, something like that, it comes through in a very neutral, non-personal way. It's simply information that can come in.
Well, good. Let's slow that down a little again. I mean, remember, you as an intuitive know what you're talking about. But a lot of people have heard about this for ages, and they say, oh, I wish I were more intuitive. And they listen to the positive mind because they think I, Armand DeMille, am intuitive. So let me try to use your study of this to try to help them get to it.
Okay.
If you're a person who has an aversion to certain people, you will automatically feel not drawn to certain people. And it could be based on psychological history, physical history. It could be based on even on your DNA, you know. You could be based on smell factors. It could be based on anything. Your attractiveness or non-attractiveness. Your intuition, you're saying, is going to give you an energetic feeling that is going to attract you or not attract you to certain people. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying for
it. But there's so much neurotic stuff that could do it, and there's so much physical stuff that could do it.
All right, just on a very simple level, I suggest if there's all this neurotic stuff and all this physical stuff to allow that as part of your intuition. Whoever you're drawn to, whoever you're repulsed by, you have to really begin to sense that. But if you get drawn to people who are unhealthy, who abuse you and so forth, that's not intuition. Intuition is always positive. It's always something helpful for you. So if you're drawn towards somebody and it turns out to be a very nurturing, good person for you, your intuition plays out. But if you're drawn to energy vampires and people who will hurt you, your intuition, that's not intuition.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. We just want to find this out. But let's say you've got too much blood. So you're drawn to energy vampires, so they'll suck some of it out of you. And in a way, it balances you. And I really mean that metaphorically. Let's say you've got too much aggression in your body, and you're attracted to people who are depressed, so they'll drag you down. And your intuition doesn't tell you they're depressed, and that's going to make me feel better because they'll drag me down. But somehow it's what people do. They intuit that the other person is going to have the balance for them, whether it's positive or negative, whether it's a happy person or a non-happy person. Couples get together based on an intuition of what's necessary for them to feel in balance. And it's not always positive, but it's still intuition.
Yes, but it's not a healthy balance. And what I'm suggesting with intuition is that it creates healthy.
Okay, so you've got good intuition and bad intuition.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, well,
exactly.
Then I'm happy. As long as it's not just one intuition we're going for.
No. And if you have balance, if whatever relationship causes balance, then in a way that's positive. But what I see with my patients and with so many people is that they're attracted to relationships that drain them, and they don't know how to deal with it, and they don't know how to combat these energy vampires, and it's out of balance.
But some people want to be drained. Judith, some people have so much what they consider to be aggressive, angry stuff that they want to be drained. And then there are people who, take a borderline personality who gets involved with an obsessive, compulsive, really rigid kind of three-piece suit of guy. And the two of them get together, and he gets the energy of the borderline histrionic kind of stuff, and she gets the balance of his constricted kind of dense personality. Now, neither one of these are good, but it's two people who are finding a plus for their minus, you know. They're finding a way of bringing themselves in balance, even though it's not a healthy balance.
Well, what I have to say, if it is healthy, then go for it. If it isn't healthy, then you need to look further in terms of what's motivating you to be attracted to another person. And there's a lot of suffering that goes on in relationships, and my sense is most of the attraction factors are unhealthy. And
sure.
That it creates a lot of problems. However, I'm a big believer you can learn, as we were talking about consciousness, you can learn from any relationship. And if you learn the lessons of the relationship and not repeating it, that can help you with balance. So there's There's all kinds of nuances. But if your intuition is telling you to go towards energy vampires who are sucking you dry and you're feeling ill and tired and depleted, I hope you can question that, you know, and say that's not a positive thing.
Oh, one of the questions you would have is, what is it about me that needs to have these energy vampires? Not what is it about me that, you know, well, it always comes out about me, doesn't it? You know, it sounds like it's time to quote the very intelligent Buckaroo Banzai. Buckaroo Banzai once said, if you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you always got.
Exactly.
And it's kind of where we are. We're saying, if you look at it and you say to yourself, my intuition has guided me time and time again to dysfunctional relationship, it's time to examine my intuition.
It's true.
Is my intuition guiding me away from my true self, or is it guiding me to my true self?
Yes, and when it is guiding you to your true self, you begin to trust those intuitions. And I wanted to say, just because you're attracted to somebody doesn't necessarily mean that's intuition. That could be just sexual attraction or your neurosis meeting their neurosis, which creates a pull. But intuition is always positive. It will always benefit you. If it's not benefiting you, then something is mixing up with that, including projection. One thing, as an intuitive, I believe in very strongly is dealing with my own personal issues. And I've been in therapy most of my adult life because I have a passion for dealing with my issues, whatever they are, so I can get through them, and also so I don't project them onto my clients and patients. Because when you're reading intuitively, if I look at you and say, you're a very angry person, and yet it's me, I'm the one who's angry, that's projection. And so part of learning intuition is becoming aware of what your own issues are. What are your top five fears? Now, let's say it's fear of abandonment, fear of lack of success. And you could see if you continue to have those fears with other people, I would say that's not intuition. If you project that on other people, that's your own fear acting out itself. And so you need to be aware of who you are in order to determine whether you're attracted to this person for a positive reason, or are you enacting your own fears and it somehow feels like a pull. Because one law of attraction that I believe in is that we attract who we are. And that when you have a lot of fear and a lot of resentments and a lot of you're out for vengeance or blood, you're going to get that back. As opposed to doing your best to be a heart-centered person, to be loving, to be caring, to grow little by little, then you'll attract that back to you too, because we're like energy generators. We generate this radar and others can feel it. And so the more you develop positive energy in yourself, I truly believe the more you will get back to you.
This is Armand DeMille with The Positive Mind. We're going to be taking a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about the energy vampires. We are talking with Dr. Judith Orloff, who has written many books, including the one recently fabulous called Positive Energy. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with you in a little bit.
You're tuned to Hi-Fi, WBAI 99.5 on your FM dial, New York.
Hi. I'm Bernard White, and I'm here to inform you that the Fall Fun Drive begins October 5th. This drive is very important to the future of the station. In a time when corporate media has abandoned its responsibility to inform, WBAI's importance has increased. The theme for this drive is engulfed, and indeed we are. From the Persian Gulf to the Gulf of Mexico, the U.S. has militarized its engagement with the inhabitants in those regions. We will bring to you a coffer of up-to-the-minute, insightful presentations about the foreign and domestic implications of this reckless behavior. You will hear insightful presentations from people like Arundhati Roy, Joy Leary, Tim Wise, Chip Relay, Cindy Sheehan, and British MP George Galloway, just to name a few. Make sure you tune in and subscribe to WBAI in this critical period. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is it, the famous drum solo, Gene Krupa. Played in your honor, Judith Orloff.
Oh, thank you so much.
They said positive energy is going to be here. Couldn't think of better than Sing 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 by Benny Goodman with Gene Krupa playing drums. Let me ask you something. You talk about, oh, this is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind, in case you just tuned in thinking you were getting a great music station playing some good old-time jazz. You get a lot of jazz here on WBAI. Part of the jazz we present you with is this program called The Positive Mind. It's mental jazz. It's about getting your mind to find it. You know, jazz is all about intuition. I mean, that's the whole thing. You can't be in a non-intuitive jazz anything.
Oh, absolutely. You know, in Positive Energy, I interviewed Quincy Jones and the use of intuition. He says jazz musicians turn intuition into pretzels. They live because of intuition. They
absolutely
can't exist without it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can't remember. There were one or two who used to just repeat things, and they would just repeat things, but they would it just took off from there. If anybody ever listens to Thelonious Monk, you get an idea of where intuition can really go, because he always played from his errors. He would, when I was a kid, I used to watch him. I used to sit in a room where he would be playing piano, and he'd make a couple of errors. He'd bang a few times on the piano, and then he'd take off on the errors.
Ah.
And he would turn the error into a concerto. It was fantastic.
That's the model for human behavior, to turn the error into the concerto. That's positive energy.
That's as good as it gets.
Yeah, really.
Okay, now let's get to the guys we've got to watch out for. All right, now here we go, Judith. It's great. You are a person of beautiful UCLA psychiatrist who sees this world as a need, as a place to have this generated positive energy going all the time, but you do it with one eye cast aside because you're always watching out. You're saying, but you got to keep your eyes open for the energy vampires.
That's right. Absolutely. As part of taking good care of your positive energy is learning, you know, who are the negative forces in your life that sap it. And I think it's important to...
Are these like prana suckers?
Yeah, prana suckers. Absolutely. Your energy field is game for them. You're around an energy vampire, and they suck your energy dry. And to me, as an intuitive, it looks like there are these invisible tendrils reaching out from that person onto your energy field and sucking, and you can feel it. The intuition that you're around an energy vampire is that your energy is bottoming out, and the person can look perfectly nice. You could be at a party, and they're attractive, and they're funny, and they're this or they're that, but you're starting to feel sick or nauseous, and your energy is going down. This is an intuition, and this is something to trust. And I know a lot of my patients don't move when they're around an energy vampire because, number one, they talk themselves out of their intuitions, and number two, they're afraid of being impolite. They're afraid of just offending somebody, so they stand there forever and feel sick as a result.
So maybe they're just afraid of turning their back on the energy vampire. Because... No, but listen now, Judith, look, I'm a guy with a lot of energy.
Yes, you are.
And for a living, part of what I do is I consult with people who are habitually vampires. You know, they are that way. They're depressed, and they are looking for somebody to hang on to, and they hear me, and they come to me. They could be as much of an energy vampire as they want to be. I feel energized by their presence, even though by anybody else's definition, they are energy vampires.
Well, I think why is you have a very grounded energy. You know, you're very, very grounded. I'm a different energy type than you are. I'm what's called an intuitive empath, somebody who's been labeled as, quote, overly sensitive, and I absorb negative energy into my body, and I get exhausted by it.
All the time, even with patients? I mean, if a patient walks in who's depressed, you're going to absorb their energy? Or
no, because I've learned the strategies that I write about to put into use in my own life. If I don't put those into use, yes, I can get very, very drained. And that's something I've had to deal with in my life in order to honor my sensitivities and not get drained. I've had to do certain strategies that I use all the time. And
so you have to cut off your empath. You have to cut off. And when you're with somebody who's going to be an energy sucker, let's say, or an energy vampire, and they're consulting with you and you want to help them, you have to remove yourself a step, don't you? You do. I don't.
Not necessarily, not if I'm in good shape. If I take care of myself, if I eat well, if I sleep well, if I meditate, meditation is a big part of my own spiritual program of keeping myself together, bringing my energy back together. But if I'm frantic, if I'm not eating well, if I'm not sleeping well, and I come into work and I'm around an energy vampire, they could zap me. Or also, if I give a talk and there are people out there, and there's a lot of positive and negative energy out there, and as a sponge, I'm an energy sponge. If I'm not in good shape, if I'm not taking care of my energy, that negative energy goes into me. And yes, I've learned techniques. Number one is breathing. When you're around negative energy, you must breathe. If all else fails, you breathe. You don't hold your breath around an energy vampire. And I've also gotten very good at setting boundaries with them. Whereas, you know, years ago I would stay on the phone for 2 hours listening to somebody complaining on and on and on, and I'd be so tired laying on my bed, and the other person would feel better, and then they'd call me back again the next night with the same complaints. And so I've gotten very good, and this isn't an issue for you because you're really good at this in terms of boundaries, but I had to learn how to say, you know, I love you, you're my friend, but I can only listen for 5 minutes when you don't get into solutions. And so I've had to speak up, and I teach other intuitive empaths to speak up to take care of their energy, because if you could feel what it was to be me and how I process energy in the world, you can see it's a very vulnerable position. And my goal is not to shut off my empathy, because it helps me sense people and experience life. And as we were talking about before, being in the now, and I love to experience everything in life. I don't want to shut off my sensitivity, but I want to get very strong so that I can ward off the negative energy that's out there. And that's part of my own spiritual work, is to learn how to do that with myself and my own psychological work.
So for many people who aren't able to deal with it so well, you would say, for those who can't, remove yourself. If you're
yes.
in a room, if you're in a room with a bunch of people, or you're in a room with one person, and you just feel yourself dragging down through the floor, and you cannot identify it as a passive-aggressive response to being angry and not able to express it, which many people feel.
Right.
Right? If you're really working on yourself, you could always ask yourself when you feel your energy going down, am I getting angry?
Yes.
And you're going to find very often you'll say, yeah, you know, I am getting angry. And that may give you a clue on how to handle the relationship right there, because you might then be able to break the field by talking to the person, you know, and saying, you know, I feel myself losing my energy.
Yes.
Okay, so that's one. So if you're with your husband or wife, and your mate or your boyfriend or girlfriend, and you start feeling your energy go away, don't automatically leave the room. See what you could do about it.
Oh, no, you've got to work with it, with your loved ones and your friends. But if you're at a party and somebody's draining you, I mean, that's good enough for me. I would say get out of there. I don't care what the reason is. I think it's just good enough to protect yourself to leave, to be able to say, you know, please excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. You know, it's just to be able to open up your mouth. And that's such a wonderful excuse to be able to get out of there. The bathroom, I use it all the time. So you can just excuse yourself. I don't see anything healthy about standing there for 2 hours when you're feeling sick around someone. And I don't care if the reason is neurotic. I don't care what it is, just to get out of there for the moment. Then you can deal with it. You can ask yourself, what about this person was getting to me so much?
My guest is Judith Orloff, author of Positive Energy. Judith, but you're giving a lecture, let's say, and I know a lot of people follow you around. You're giving a lecture, and you've got a group of people around, and boy, it starts to happen.
Right.
And you see it happening, you know, and the bathroom has got a long line, so you can't go there. And you're kind of stuck for it. Then you go for your breathing. You go and say, oops, I feel myself sinking. And then you say to yourself, let me just breathe. And this is going on with people aren't noticing
exactly.
It. And you say, let me take deep breaths. Let me slow myself down. In effect, let me connect to myself. Let me ground myself. That's what you do?
That's what I do. And then I also say to myself, and there's a lot of inner dialoguing going on when
I'm
feeling drained.
And you can't go to the bathroom. I can imagine.
And you can't go to the bathroom. And then I always ask myself, how can I connect with this person's heart and relate to them on a higher level than how they're approaching me. I always try and transcend, especially when I'm speaking to doctors. I give a lot of talks on intuitions to doctors, and they can be very, you know, angry and confrontive and so forth. And I just don't react on that level. I feel it coming. I feel the potential energy drain, and I rise above it to speak to them in a constructive way, to the best parts in them. I don't get into it with them about what they don't believe, or I get into how they can use this constructively with patients. So I've learned how to do a kind of Tai Chi movement with negative energy too, so I don't go for it. I've learned not to go for it. I've learned to feel it, and you think, oh my God, here it comes, rise above it, and then act differently. So it's a kind of inner Tai Chi that I practice all the time.
No, I watched you do it when you came in here today with me.
Right.
I saw you grab from my heart. You saw me busy, saw me all around the place. I was barely paying attention to you, and then you grabbed out and you ripped inside my chest and pulled out my heart, and he said, let me say hello to you. And it was quick. It was terrific. I was right there. It worked beautifully. Yes, centering yourself at a time like that is like your breath can be a strand of garlic to the vampire, you know, because it could be like you just put him off. It's like you held up a crucifix. Just back off. Don't get any closer because I found me. Because
exactly. The
essence of an energy vampire or somebody who's trying to live off your energy and drain you is that you have to be alienated from yourself. Otherwise, they can't get yourself.
That's right. That's right. But if you're strong and you're not panicked around negative energy, then you could do all kinds of inner maneuvers when you're around it. And I look at it as a spiritual exercise. I mean, I look at every energy vampire I meet as a way to help me grow stronger and as a way for my heart to grow. And so I look at it that way. I mean, I'm very interested in freedom in terms of emotional freedom, spiritual freedom, everything that freedom means. And to not get hooked in by negative energy over and over and over again is really freeing. And even if I succeed just a little tiny bit, then that's a huge triumph to me. And I keep at it for my entire lifetime. I am devoted to fending off negative energy. And if I have anything to do with it, I will not let it get near me or take over the world. I don't care. My dying breath, I'm going to be fighting off negative energy to create something better.
How do you do that politically? I mean, when you must deal with the bigger picture, now does that mean that you're an activist when it comes to fighting it off? Do you fight where it counts as well? Not where it counts, but do you fight out loud?
I do at times. I do I go where my intuition draws me to go. I don't do something just because I think it's a good idea and I think it would be of help, because then it doesn't have as much energy for me. If I get pulled to do something, whatever it is, I will do it. And if I'm not pulled, then I respect that. And so that's really a good guideline for me. So I help where I can, whenever I can. And this kind of liberation can be on an individual level. It could be talking to somebody and certainly helping all my patients deal with 9/11 and deal with Katrina and everything that that meant. I mean, that is part of helping another person's liberation. I don't look at anything as too small to do. But in terms of politics or politically, I will have a very open voice about what I believe in terms of how to raise consciousness in the political system. I'll do that when I'm called to do it and to help with leadership.
We talked a while back about some of our friends who we had in common, and one of the ways that they made their changes was that they did not, I mean, everybody noticed the negative energy of everybody involved, both sides of the battle, the anti-war as well as the war, you know.
It's like, that's right. That's
it's there
right.
All over the place, and the energy, the ones who are negative are on both sides.
Oh, yes.
So absolutely. Then you want to make a difference, And it means, and they're saying, but if you have to join one side or another, and no. This is where you lose it.
I agree with you. I think this is a big illusion of the linear mind, this us versus them mentality, because on an intuitive level, it's only we. It's one family. We're all human beings. We have an amazing amount in common. It doesn't matter if you don't know your fellow human being 3,000 miles away. Just by basis of being a human being, you are their brother or sister. And this is a basic intuitive truth that people just don't get.
Nobody gets it.
They don't get it, and it's a huge missing piece. Just imagine if you really got that and you really believe that, how different this world would be. But this us versus them, that we're in the right and we're going to kill off these people to make things better, it's not going to work. It's ridiculous. It's proven.
It's not only brute, but you're right, all forms of brute force.
Yes.
I have for years been, people have tried to pull me into one side or another on a battle.
Right.
And when I say, I don't take a neutral position, but I take a very active position in the middle that says, I'm going to stay here and stay positive with everybody involved.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not going to back the people involved. I'm not going to support the people involved, but I'm going to be positive with them.
Yes.
I can't tell you the number of times people have gotten angry and said, no, you must take a stand. You
That's
must
right.
not allow
That's
this.
Right.
You must oppose it. You must get ready to walk out and fight and protest. Well, there are times to do that.
Yes.
I've been involved enough in justice where the only thing left was for me to stand there with a stick and say, no, you can't do this anymore.
Right. I like the stick.
And then there are times that I could see the illusion of the battle and just
yes.
see it and say, wait a minute, I see you're all children fighting. And just because you're fighting children doesn't mean I have to take a side with either one of you. I guess that's what parenting is like.
Exactly, exactly. And a dream of mine as an intuitive is to be in a position with leadership to be able to add the intuitive voice to the decision-making process so that can be part of why we do certain things in this world. And I personally think it would make a huge difference.
You usually need something that's common.
Yes.
You need something that was common. It's a quick story. I've told it before. During the late 60s, there were the hard hats down on Wall Street protesting, and then there were the hippies protesting the war. And the hard hats who were working in construction were throwing material down on the hippies, and they were killing them. And they were killing them with bricks and stuff because they were saying, burn the flag.
Right.
So then there were the business people who were in the middle of all of this, and I was working in Wall Street at the time, but I was a hippie who was working in Wall Street. So I called a meeting. And we had a meeting of the businessmen, the hard hats, and the hippies. And I called a meeting, the heads of all of them, and I said, come on, let's talk about what's going on here. And you know what I brought as commonality? Peanut butter sandwiches.
The child within.
There was no lunch except peanut butter sandwiches, and I'll tell you, everybody enjoyed them. And somewhere with those peanut butter sandwiches, everybody got to who they were.
Well, that was brilliant.
It was
a brilliant way to bring people together, but that's the essence of positive energy. It's not a matter of majority vote, who's right or where you go to or what cause you choose. It's about, in the moment, what do you feel would be the best positive message here to give? And it's not to back this one on this side or this one on the other side. It's to bring people together. I mean, that's the secret. It's so hard for human beings to get along. I mean, even one-to-one relationships are hard, let alone a whole world. But given that, we can try and bring people together with the positive energy and not just see the differences or us versus them. That's the psychotic delusion of the linear mind. And it just is not true intuitively. And so when you do what you do with the peanut butter sandwiches and you bring people together, not in a confrontational way, but through the peanut butter sandwiches, then it gets through all these defenses. And that's what it's all about. And you start with yourself in terms of reconciling the opposing forces inside, and you begin to show yourself compassion. You work with the darker energies. You open up your heart. You build the positive energies. Then you try and do that in your relationships to the best of your ability, and then try and help to better the world with the same principles. It all relates to one another. It's totally connected, the positive mind and positive energy. And if you apply those principles to everything, I can't see how things wouldn't get better.
This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. My guest is Judith Orloff. Today's date is what day is today?
29th.
The 29th of September. If you're hearing a rebroadcast of this, we're going to make a mention of something that's coming up, but it's only coming up soon. Now, you're in New York and you're doing a workshop. in Rye, New York, aren't you?
I am, September 30th, Friday night, and October 1st, all day long in Rye, New York at the Rye Town Hilton.
It's a great place.
Is it? I've never been
there.
Yeah,
I know. And it's going to be a seminar?
It will be a seminar on the power of positive energy and intuition to heal. It's pretty much what we've been talking about today in our interview. And the information is on my website, which is drjudithorloff.com.
DrJudith.com. Are you going to have dancing? You know, now, I'll tell you something about the
Rye. Well, we must.
No,
we
I know, but they dancing. Don't have it up there. You see, they're going to think that people should just gather. And the trouble with that workshop location is they forget, you know. They don't forget it on the West Coast. On the East Coast, I can tell you, they didn't forget it. So bring a little music with you, Judith, will you?
Oh, I usually bring music or a flute player or some kind of musician to be able to bring music into the work. Absolutely.
It does make a difference. If you wanted a copy of today's program, you would call 212-757-4488. Another way to get a copy of today's program would be to, we got Tom Gerby right here. Hey, Tom. Welcome to WBAI. Here we go. Listen to this. This is going to be real quick. We're going to be going. Hey, Tom.
And to obtain an archived copy of the program, you can go to www.thepositivemind.com and scroll down to where it says streaming is here, and you can find the program at the bottom of the page later on today.
This is the very famous Tom Gerby who has made the archives available of all the programs. How many programs we got up there now, Tom?
70 or so.
70
And now we're adding them every day. So as we do these programs, they go right on the website.
Now, why do you do this?
It's fun.
Yeah.
You know why? You're just doing such a good thing for people, and it's nice to be able to deliver to everyone.
You're great. Hey, and what's the name of your organization? People who want any kind of help?
PerfectStream.tv.
PerfectStream.tv if they want to learn about some
webcasting and you know, basically putting your content on the air. Online.
Great. Judith, it has been a pleasure to be with you. We just must end with more positive music, and we will do that. We'll be back with you on Tuesday, my friends, at 1 p.m. with more of The Positive Mind. Judith, thanks so much. This is fun, huh?
Yes, it was. Thank you.
We're doing this again. We're probably going to do one. I want to do an interview on telephone as well, you know, because I know you're not in New York that often. But anytime you're here, would you just let me know and we'll do another program.
I promise.
I love it. Nice to be with you. Back with you, my friends, in just about a few days.